The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined today by Craig Burley, Steve Nichol, and Shaka Hislop with us on the day that Manchester United go top of the table. That's after a 1-0 victory against Burnley. Paul Pogba's second half goal proving to be decisive for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side, who are now 3 points clear of Liverpool at the top. Everton, meanwhile, with a win away against Wolves, moving up to fourth. But is United sitting in that number one spot, which is the big story? Craig Burley, will you admit it now?
What?
That you were wrong about Ollie?
We're not even halfway in the season yet.
Still, he's top of the table, three clear of the defending champions.
Stop opening shows with such utter nonsense. Trophies are not handed out after 17 games. This is a 38-game season if we get this season finished, which hopefully we will. And I'm still telling you now, the top two will be Liverpool and Man City in no particular order.
We can only judge on what's happened, though, from these 17 matches, yes? And surely, yeah, at this point, you have to admit that he's exceeded your expectations.
Well, he has. And I tell you why. And I'm being honest here. They are a little better than I thought they were going to be. But one of the reasons is, and this is factual, that in the past three seasons, they would have been nowhere near the top. Because City and Liverpool had accumulated way more points coming up to the halfway than we have now. So what they're doing is, and it's not a criticism, is they're taking advantage of the drop-off from the other two. That's not even up for debate. You just have to go back and look at the last three league tables.
But that drop-off is inevitable, isn't it? Those two couldn't keep up that sort of record.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to keep doing that. But so what I'm saying is that, so far, Man United have taken advantage, and so have one or two others, of the drop-off that we've seen, particularly from Liverpool. City, I think, have looked really strong recently. We talked in this show about Liverpool's away form in particular. So they've taken advantage of that drop-off. They are a threat going forward. They did deserve to win this game. There's no doubt about it. They deserve to win this game. Burnley were poor until the last, 10 minutes? Vidra comes off the bench. I think if the goal was the size of the stand behind the goal, he probably wouldn't have scored. And they deserve to win, United. But I'm still convinced in my mind that City are the strongest at the moment and Liverpool will improve because they've been poor by their standards.
Stevie, has Ole Gunnar Solskjaer exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, listen, the fact that they're sitting top of the league, whether it's 17 games or not, is not something I expected Ole to do. I didn't expect him to take them to the top of the league. And you can't disagree that both City and Liverpool have dropped off. But at the end of the day, when you go, 9-2-1, and your last, 12 games, then you deserve a little bit of credit. And so, yes, he deserves credit. Today's a great example of how things are going for Man United. Previously, when they weren't at their best, they would lose. Today, yes, they dominated the game, but they didn't create that much. And they end up winning the game with a deflection. So, listen, you make your own luck as well. So, yes, Ollie's definitely completely got United where I didn't think they would be. And that's top of the league.
Are they title favourites, Shaka?
Not title favourites. I still think City are a way better team. Liverpool potentially are, but they've suffered with injuries more so than any of the other front runners. But, you know, just kind of given where we are, given how much more there is to go in this season that Craig pointed out, and I think City have started to look back to their best. I think City, for me, are title favourites, despite... And this goes back to a question we had a few days ago, Manchester United currently being in pole position.
I think City, I honestly think, just looking at it, the way they took Chelsea apart, the way they sort of just brushed Man United aside recently in the Carabao Cup with a depleted squad. But that's not to say that United can't churn results out.
Right.
You know, in these tight games, when they're getting a deflection or Bruno Fernandes is stepping up and Paul Pogba today, they can't churn enough results out. That is possible. But I think when you look at what City have done with the problems that they've had, particularly recently, it's hard to look past them. We've talked in the show about Liverpool. You know, they've got a problem at one end without Van Dijk. Whether they address that this month's transfer window remains to be seen. They've also got as big a problem, if not a bigger problem, at the other end, where they're not scoring the goals that they were.
Yeah.
Their away form has been shady at best. And I think a couple of weeks ago when Stevie and I were on, we said, look, they're not going to win this league unless they improve their away form. United are going away from home and they're getting results.
Yeah.
So that's something for them to hang on to. And we've got this big Man United-Liverpool game coming up. And, you know, 6 months ago, I would have sat here and said, unless Liverpool have a terrible day at the office, they're going to win. It's hard to put that argument up now because Liverpool just have not been playing well of late.
We've got a lot of time, of course, over the next few days to look ahead to that game. But let's just reflect on what happened at Turf Moor. A couple of big decisions. We saw the referee go over to the VAR screen. In the end, Luke Shaw was given a yellow card. This was off the back of Cavani, of course, going through.
True.
As part of that attacking phase. They were checking that and brought it back to the tackle from Shaw. It was yellow. Should it have been red?
Well, Brady halved Cavani in two, but was given nothing for it because the move was deemed to have broken down because of the free kick. There's no doubt the Shaw challenge was a free kick. Now, he does play a very small part of the ball, but that's not in the laws of the game anymore. My personal opinion is, and I've said this to you, and I think Sean Dyche has made this point many times, not just this season, but before. I've seen it with big calls at Arsenal and other clubs, is that teams like Burnley, with the big, bad, horrible physical style that some of them perceive to have, and maybe they're right, I think if that had been a Burnley challenge and not a Man United challenge, it would have been a red card.
Right.
I really believe that. And I think that is the frustration of some of the managers at the lower end of the league, and it is a cesspit of mediocrity down there, and we've talked about that, some horrible teams down there. But you need these decisions to go your way. And I think had that been a Tarkowski or a Ben Mee or an Ashley Barnes, big physical players making that tackle, I think the referee would have looked at that differently. So I think in my opinion, Luke Shaw has got lucky.
Shaka, should Luke Shaw have been sent off?
Yeah, I thought without question that was a red card offence. And there are a couple of things in this whole big picture that are a little bit confusing. Up the other end, once the referee allows play to go on, I think that's a red card on the Burnley defender whose name slips me right now. And then I thought...
Yeah, but Once they deem they're going back to look at the Shaw challenge for a potential red card and an obvious free kick, they then cannot punish Brady for the challenge because it's deemed to have been after the event.
And that's where I'm a little bit cloudy in that if you go all the way back to that early in the build-up, I thought it's because it's a red card. And if it's only deemed a yellow and therefore just a missed yellow card offence by the referee, you have to, you live with the mistake, so to speak. That being said, and that's my confusion around VAR and the protocols around VAR in this instance. But in terms of the Shaw challenge, anytime you're coming front onto the ball in that way and your leg comes up in the way that Shaw does, even if you catch a piece, especially if you catch the top half of the ball, it's going to take you studs first into high up the shin of the opponent. That's a red card challenge every single day. That's a red card challenge in Sunday League football, let alone somebody playing with one of the biggest teams in world football. You know the risks. You know what you're doing. And the fact that he catches a piece of the ball, for me, is a flimsy excuse.
Let's just, before we go to Stevie, quickly, let's just clear up what Shaq is talking about here. But let's just try and clear this up. They're not just coming back to look at a red card defence, right? So it's not like they're saying, come back and look at it. It's probably a yellow, but might be a red. They're coming back to look at the infringement first and foremost.
Because it's all part of the attacking phase.
So they're first and foremost coming back to look at the infringement for the free kick. to then make the decision that the goal's not going to stand because of the infringement. On top of the infringement, they're now looking at a potential red card offence, which then they deemed to be a yellow card offence. So there's two or three different decisions been made, all within the one motion of play, basically. And that's why it took a long time.
Yeah, Stevie, quickly, Luke Shaw, red card or not?
I think we should just go and ask Shaka to go and get back involved with the board and tell them that we can't tackle anymore. I'm sorry, you're having a laugh. What are you supposed to do? What's Luke Shaw supposed to do? Not challenge? Luke Shaw
you're
gets
supposed
to the
to
ball
not tackle.
First.
You're supposed and Luke to
Shaw,
not tackle.
And Luke Shaw is going at a pace where nothing else is going to happen other than his body carrying on. He's got to stick his leg out to get the ball. And the fact that it happens so fast, I thought the referee was absolutely spot on. Luke Shaw went for the ball, got the ball, and his pace took him through. Now, if his opponent is 2 yards away and he carries on with his
choices,
foot, then that's different.
Hold on, Stevie. If your
only, choice he's got is don't tackle anymore.
Challenge, that will take my studs into the knee of the opponent, then the sensible thing is
his
you
knee.
Don't challenge.
I never touched his knee. It wasn't close to his knee.
Ah, be
it. It caught him just above his ankle.
Come on, Stevie.
It caught him just above his
Come
ankle.
Come on, no.
So what's he supposed to do?
How big is his ankle?
Not challenge.
That's his biggest ankle
not
in world
challenge.
Football, isn't it?
I mean, I think in
so don't challenge then. Let's get rid of contact. We're pretty much
but
almost
exactly.
done it. You can't go near anybody, and it's a free
if
kick.
If your only choice, if
so
your
let's
only
just forget challenges
are,
then.
Not challenge and take
nah,
you into
yeah.
an opponent's
yeah. If
shin,
I'm going to get
then
the ball
you,
first,
then you don't challenge.
And you're telling me, Shaka, I'm getting the ball first, and you're telling me that I can't challenge. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but Stevie, he hardly played any of the ball. He just
is that a defining line all of a sudden, whether you get
but
the ball or not?
He played the ball.
No, Stevie.
He got the. Of course it is.
So is that Listen, a defining line?
He gets the ball
If you
first.
Get the ball, it's
he
not a foul.
He gets the ball first.
If you get the ball,
Did
it's not a foul.
First?
That's what you're telling me? If you get the ball
Did
first,
he get the ball first?
It's not a foul.
Unfortunately.
I'm asking you a question.
No, I am telling you that, in my opinion, the referee got it spot on because, number one, he got the ball. And the way the rules are now, they're trying to get rid of tackling as well. But the fact is that if you get the ball first and you still get the man, then according to the rules, you can still get done. And I think the referee, under the conditions, did the right thing and gave him a yellow because there's no way in a million years that's a red card.
Are you,
because
so
if you
are
think
you
that's a red
me,
card,
are you
then let's get rid
that,
of challenges.
Are you saying to me... What I'm hearing you saying to me, Stevie, is if you get the ball first, it's not a foul. Is that what you're saying?
It should be. But of course, likes of you and everybody else on your boards come up with this nonsense about, well, even though you get the ball, it's still reckless. What's that all about?
I think we agreed to disagree here. Quickly, Stevie, Harry Maguire's goal that was disallowed, was that the right decision?
Yeah, he's bumped him.
Yeah.
He bumped him before. And the thing is, he didn't have to bump him. Had he stayed away, he would have clearly won the header. But he did, he bumps him first. And so it's a foul.
I think if we agree with the laws of the game or not, the game has changed. And there is something within the laws, and I don't necessarily agree with it all the time, is endangering an opponent. Now, my argument would be, is, and I've made it before, is almost every challenge missed time can endanger an opponent. But I do think this comes under the endangering an opponent in terms of the veracity of the challenge, in terms of the aggressiveness of it. And I get it. Listen, 15, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have been having this discussion.
Goodness me, don't be aggressive.
No, but I'm only saying what's in the laws of the game and the way the referee...
But that's why it's a nonsense.
Yeah, but then the referee has to go by the letter of the law. And in that case... I think Shaw was endangering the opponent there. And that's my point. You know, and the likes of Chris Wilder and Sean Dyche, and I've heard them making it time and time and time again, is that if that was their players making it because of reputation, I think Kevin Friend would have went to the monitor and came back and issued a red card. But It's not. It's one of the teams at the top. It's the big fancy Dan players, be it City, Liverpool or Man United, and the decisions are slightly different.
We've run out of time. Manchester United there at the top of the table. A good day for Everton with a 2-1 victory away against Wolves at Molineux. Great header from Keane to give Everton all 3 points. It moves them up to fourth in the table. Meanwhile, the other game today saw Sheffield United register their first victory of the season at their 18th attempt at beating Shaka's old boys Newcastle by 1-0. We'll let Stevie and Shaka go, but they will be back for extra time to answer your tweet. You can always check that out over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
In Spain, Atleti stretched their lead to 4 points at the top of the table after a 2-0 victory against Sevilla. Remember, Simeone's side still with 2 games in hand over Real Madrid and Barcelona as we welcome in Ali Moreno and Julien Laurent to the show. I tell you what, Ali, Sevilla will be disappointed they didn't get anything from this game, but if Atleti go on and win the title, obviously these are the sort of matches in which will be key to that sort of victory.
Vintage Atletico Madrid today against Sevilla. They scored the goal in the 17th minute through Correa, and then after that, they did nothing but defend. But it was comfortable defending. They allowed Sevilla to walk the ball up all the way to the final third, and then Sevilla was very predictable with their attack. The only thing that was surprising about this match was that Atletico Madrid actually got a second goal. Hey! Marco Llorente running out of the midfield, which is something that Atletico Madrid does very well, and I don't quite understand the insistence of Simeone playing Llorente on the inside. He's far more dangerous when he's working inside of Trippier, but outside of a central position. Exploits his speed once again. 2-0, Atletico Madrid wins it, and Sevilla, they could still be playing, and they still wouldn't be scoring a goal against Atletico Madrid today.
Atletico are going to win the league, aren't they, Jules? And it's going to be easy.
I don't know if it's going to be easy, but certainly when you look at them tonight, they've only conceded 6 goals. In 16 games this season. And if you look at the schedule, they're not playing big teams, Villarreal and Real Madrid, before March. And then even Barcelona will be in May. So it looks like they've got it clear ahead of them as well. They're so good, so favourite.
Atleti looking excellent. Remember, Wednesday is all about the Spanish Super Cup. Barcelona taking on Real Sociedad. We'll, of course, be discussing that on the next edition of the show. And by the way, be sure to subscribe to YouTube. Plenty of content there. Sid Lowe talking about Real Madrid. Go over and check it out. Jules, you've been writing about PSG and Lionel Messi over on the website. I didn't really read it. I kind of skim read it. And basically, am I right in saying the article is Messi is definitely going to PSG in the summer?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. No, if you had read it, you would know that we're looking into it and as the club is doing, to be fair, and explaining that, of course, it can happen. Anything is possible in football. You just never know. However, it would be very difficult for PSG to sign Leo Messi, especially if they want to keep Kylian Mbappe and Neymar at the club, because financially it's almost impossible, or certainly I cannot see when I work down the numbers how you could keep already Mbappe and Neymar and adding on top of that Messi and his wages and everything that comes with it.
Would it be, how wise would it be to get rid of one of those to make sure you could get Messi?
That's the big discussion as well. But isn't the future more someone who's 22 and 28, or someone, albeit maybe the greatest player that's ever played the game, who is 33? So I think right now, and like I wrote it in the article and I've mentioned it on the show many times, the priority for them is to extend the contract of Mbappe and Neymar, which both finish in June 2022. That's the ultimate priority before anything else. That's the focus, that's the objective, that's the aim. Once that is done, then I think, and if it gets done, then I think they will look even more into details about Messi. That is if Messi wants to go, because Messi can also decide to stay in Barcelona, and then there's no debate, there's no plan, there's nothing. But if Messi says, listen, I don't want to stay here in Barcelona, I want to go somewhere else, then I think they're going to try. But maybe if Mbappe doesn't extend his deal, for example, and they kind of have to sell him this summer coming, if someone is willing to pay the money, then maybe there's more money available there for Messi. But I think the idea very much is keeping Neymar and Mbappe. And if they both extend, then you look into the numbers for Messi if you can do it.
Ali, what would you do? Would you get rid of Mbappe or Neymar to guarantee Lionel Messi at your club?
Certainly not Mbappe. Neymar, I may think about it, because he has at times been a pain on my backside if I'm PSG. But Mbappe, I'm doing whatever I can to keep, and I do not jeopardize the long-term health of the club financially because I want to bring Lionel Messi in, and I get fixated on that idea. Now, in terms of moving Neymar on and then being able to have Lionel Messi be part of the club, then maybe I think about it. But even after thinking about it for, I say, 5 seconds, I say, you know what? I just don't see it. I don't think this is the direction that we should move into. It is gambling on essentially getting the very best of Lionel Messi for a year, and that's about it. And then hoping that that's enough to get you over the hump, win Champions League, or whatever it is that you're going after. I don't think it's a good idea for PSG long term. I don't think it's a good idea for PSG short term. And certainly it's not a good idea if you haven't figured out yet what you're going to do with Neymar.
It wouldn't be great for football fans either, would it, Jules, him going to PSG?
Why? It'd be amazing. Can you imagine a front three of Neymar?
Oh, yeah, which you'll only really see in the Champions League. Surely you want him to see in a competitive league, be it in England or Italy, because at least then, you know, you can really focus week in, week out. PSG steamrolling all the other teams in Ligue 1 isn't particularly exciting for someone who doesn't really care.
I don't mind. I don't care. I don't care. I'd be very happy if it happens. Of course, the competitiveness of the Premier League over Ligue 1, you know, I get it. And if he decides to leave, which again is not guaranteed at all, maybe Man City would be more appealing to him and to go to work with Pep. So there's a lot of obstacles and hurdles for PSG to make that deal anyway. But maybe, yeah, maybe you're right. He can also decide to go to MLS, like he said in his interview in La Sexta at the end of December. And then we're not going to talk about competitiveness of the league. I think we'd be happy for MLS that they can attract such a player. Again, there's a long way to go. And just quickly on Mbappe and Neymar, I'm not sure, even if you want to get rid of one of those two, that anyone can come in and pay money for them in the current context, in the current climate, with what PSG would want for a Neymar or for an Mbappe. Barcelona certainly don't have the money to bring Neymar back. I'm not sure Liverpool and Real Madrid right now can pay the package for Mbappe in terms of transfer fee, commissions, wages, etc. So it might also be a case of, even if you don't extend them and that you don't really want them there because you want to make room for Messi, that you might not even be able to.
Ali, quickly, would Messi at PSG get you excited?
Well, I can't believe that you asked the French guy if he'd be excited.
I know,
about
I was waiting to be angrier at me. I wanted more of a response, but he's much calmer.
We expected. Yeah, of course he's going to be excited. As for me, it really doesn't do doesn't really check that box of excitement. Even though the idea of seeing Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe together, yes, that in itself is exciting, but who are we kidding? Are we really saying that we're going to tune into Ligue 1 more consistently, week in and week out, because we want to see how Messi and PSG are doing in the league? We know what the outcome is going to be in the league, and we very well understand that that's part of the reality of who PSG are and how powerful they are. So we're only going to see them in Champions League and really care about what they do in that competition. And that's what PSG is going to be, a team that is either win Champions League with Messi or bust.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. More from Gab and Jules. Well, more from Jules with Gab, obviously, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, where they're joined by Jan Agafyortov.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali, to Jules, to Stevie, and to Shaka, and of course to Craig.
That was fun. We're doing it all again tomorrow.
We will be here tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, I'll be in a better mood tomorrow.
I know, you've been quite chirpy today. It's always a bit off-putting. We'll be back then. Be sure to join us. Until tomorrow, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Craig, Stevie and Shaka here alongside me. Stevie, first question is for you in response to Villa playing Liverpool a few days ago. Have you ever played a match where you knew you had no chance of winning or even compete? What did players even talk about before the match? Stevie, have you ever coached a game where you knew you couldn't win? I'm thinking of Real Madrid against MLS All-Stars, Stevie.
Yes. Absolutely. And the worst thing as well, we lost a goal after 3 minutes. Beckham got a free kick, 25 yards out, right in the middle of the goal, and scored. And I turned to Mo. Morris Johnson was my assistant. I was like, ah, hey, Mo, how long to go, honestly? You talk about, we knew we were going to get a hiding. It was just a matter of how many. And actually, we ended up coming away with some dignity. What was it, Dan? Was it six?
Five or six, yeah.
Five.
Was it in Madrid?
I was there. I commentated the game.
Let's play Real Madrid in their own backyard.
Yeah. The Santiago Bernabeu trophy.
So, what can we get? What mug can we get to coach the team? Nobody will do it apart from...
It wasn't the mug. It was supposed to be the best manager, wasn't it? Stevie was the best coach of MLS at the time.
Honestly. And then I said, OK. So he said, your coach this guy. I went, aye, fine. I said, so am I picking the players? And he went, well, no. I said, right. He said, what you're going to have to do is take two players from every single team.
Oh.
So I've gone, hold on a second. We're going to play the Galactic. They were the Galacticos at the time. We're going to to play in the Bernabeu against the Galacticos, and we're not taking our best players. And they were like, well, yeah. I was like, chills.
And then Paul Mariner was saying to me, like, at least you two could go there, you know, have a good time in Madrid, go out, enjoy the nightlife, you two. But you said, no, you've got to stay in Boston and coach the Revs.
Well, exactly, because if both of us went, there was nobody to coach the Revs. So I was like, sorry, Paul, you're going to have to stay here. I'm just going to give Mo a call, see if he wants to come. He was like,
yeah, I bet he was.
That must have been... Actually, when was that? Stevie, when was that? 2000 and... Oof.
2006.
Yeah, 2006.
So that must have been when he did all the recces for those really good restaurants.
Yeah, when they, he took us to when we were in Madrid. TGI Fridays. All of those classic Spanish places.
The hotel room service.
Well, the good thing, hey. He got the karaoke place. That's the only thing that matters.
Oh, my goodness me. Those are the days, Stevie. OK, who's been the best value for money signing so far this season? Who's been the worst? Craig will say Kieran Tierney.
Well, actually, I think you need to wind your neck in.
Why?
Because Kieran Tierney wasn't signed this season.
Yeah, he's still part of this season.
Yeah, well, just factually incorrect.
OK, then who is factually correct?
What's your question? Buying myself a bit of time here.
Who's been the best value for money signing so far this season? Who's been the worst?
Højbjerg.
You okay?
Højbjerg. Tottenham.
Tottenham, he's been the best?
Just a little person in my ear.
Mike Rodriguez.
I'm just a little Tottenham fan.
And who's been the worst? Gareth Bale, surely.
I mean, what's happened there?
Well, what's happened is...
How does he not get...
He hasn't been a very good footballer for a long time.
No, he's not that bad.
He is that bad.
Sorry?
Of course he's that bad.
He's just not...
He hasn't done it for years now.
Years. It must just be the case he's not bothered. It's got to be.
He's just not very good anymore.
You're telling me he couldn't get in that Tottenham team?
Well, he can't get in that Tottenham
team. No, but I mean, really and truly, that's not down to ability. He's fit.
How do you know? How do you know he is?
He's fit enough to be selected. It's not ability.
I don't know.
It can't be.
I just don't think he's very good anymore.
I mean, you're on the bench at Marine.
Yes, I know. You can't get in a Spurs side.
And the thing is, he doesn't look bothered by it.
$500,000 a week?
I know, but
it's not bad, is it? Are we missing anyone? Shaka, I know you're always got your finger on the pulse of these sort of questions.
Edouard Mendy as the best value for money signing. Worst, Gareth Bale. Honourable mention goes to Kai Havertz.
Oh, what for best?
Stevie?
No, I can't add anything to what the boys have said. I'd probably go for Mendy. Højbjerg's been fantastic, but I'd probably go for Mendy. And Bale. Bale's an easy one, isn't it?
It's a strange one. I mean, Tottenham can't be paying a lot of his wages.
They are paying a lot of his wages.
You reckon?
Yes. It was all part of the deal, wasn't it?
Well, they're paying some of his wages, but Real Madrid will be...
Even some is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
No, I'm not fussed.
Stevie, which of the current Liverpool players is your favourite and why? Ask Craig and Shaq are the same for their former clubs.
Oh, which is what?
I'd probably say Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Just makes everything look so easy.
Shaka?
Easy.
I'm going to go with West Ham and I'll go Michael Antonio.
Oh, you love Michael Antonio.
Oh. You know how much I love Antonio.
Yeah, he makes everything look so easy, doesn't he?
You're not wrong.
Which Celtic player is your favourite?
I'll have Michael Antonio for Bessie any day.
Which what?
Which Celtic player is your favourite?
Celtic player?
Well, yeah, former clan.
Yeah, I mean, get me Wikipedia, will you? I don't know. Chelsea, I would say.
Who do you like at Chelsea?
Who do you like? I like a lot of them. They're not playing well at the moment. Mendy, goalkeeper.
Mendy's your favourite player at Chelsea?
Oh, he's my favourite player?
Yeah.
I don't have favourite players. Are you asking me who's playing well or who's my favourite player?
Who's your favourite player?
Oh, I don't have any favourite players.
No, that's...
I have no interest. No, I just analyse...
No interest in favourites.
favourite player? When do we wake up? Oh, he's my favourite player. He's playing this week. I don't care. But I care who plays.
What was Steve Nicholls' favourite?
Hey, hold on. Hold on.
Yep.
Craig, you know when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Did you have a favourite player when you were a kid?
No.
No.
Wow. Craig is one of them that had all the posters up in his room, didn't he?
No, I can see Craig with every poster up in his bedroom. Shaka, don't be silly.
I can see that.
Listen,
right alongside his poster board, Derek.
Craig's favourite sportsman was Eddie Merckx. That's why he wanted a bike.
I tell you what, I expect it. I expect it from him. But you two are in full punter mode. Oh, my favourite player.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get a
Scarf of the engine.
Punter.
Listen to the heart of stone.
I just don't have a favourite player.
You've got a heart of stone.
I don't have a favourite player.
Put it on us.
My favourite player.
Yeah. Yeah. Every. Hey.
Punters.
99.9999% of kids that enjoy football are wrong, and you're right.
It's nice to be different, Stevie. Don't follow them like little sheep.
Yeah.
If they all jump in the fire, would you jump in too?
Oh, yes.
Right. Who's your favourite player?
No. What do you mean?
What do you mean? Is that a difficult question?
For which club? I've never played for any of the clubs. Well, for their former club.
Oh, and I never. I'm shocked. You never played the game. Right. Who's your favourite player in general?
Mine at the moment is Erling Haaland. I enjoy watching him.
Rick, you enjoy watching him, or is he your favourite? Have you got a scarf in the bedroom?
Oh, yes, I have Erling Haaland from size. Denise is like, what is that boy sleeping with us again?
The wife comes in and goes, oh, he's pretty good looking, yeah, I'm out.
Right, speaking of favourites, what was Steve Nicholls' favourite away ground in his playing days?
Wembley. Easy peasy.
Oh, nice. Does that count?
Easy peasy. Well, I didn't play there at home, did we? It was a away game.
Well, it's neutral. It's a neutral venue, isn't it?
Been difficult today. Real difficult questions today.
Did you have a favourite away ground, Craig?
I had one that I enjoy going to.
It's one that you had posters up in your bedroom.
I must say, I always enjoyed a trip to Highbury.
Oh, why?
Because it's a...
Oh, because the pitch was small and he didn't have to fartly run.
No, it was because the dressing rooms were heated.
Oh.
And it was a nice bar for after the game. Lovely.
Beautiful.
No, it's a great little ground and, you know, always a great atmosphere there. I just liked it being in amongst the houses, like the old-fashioned grounds, like going through. A bit nostalgic.
Beautiful.
All these man-made... that was man-made, but all these grounds now are like... I don't know, just sort of thrown up. They all look kind of similar, don't they, a lot of them?
Right. Cookie cutter.
Middlesbrough, Derby County, all these new ones.
Derby Shaka, County. Your favourite one?
Bolton.
My favourite ground, Anfield. Easy.
Are there any players you clash with repeatedly?
Not on one there.
All right. Are there any players you clash with repeatedly and come out with knocks but you're actually friendly with? How did you bury the hatchet with them? Beers at the pub or did you break bread with them? Shaka?
Probably in terms of clashing and we know, well, we are right, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, who I've described on here as being really naughty during his playing days. Oh. I've played a few Masters events with him since retiring and we've always got on really well.
Stevie? Big breath. No, it's all right, don't force it. Craig?
Nope. Not really, no. Nope. No friends in the game, just ships passing in the night.
No friends in general. Shaka, have you ever faced a player that physically beat you up in the box on corners or set pieces?
Yep, Niall Quinn, Duncan Ferguson.
There we are, that's it.
Yeah.
Good stuff, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow for more favourite talk.
Favourites.
Nice. Your favourite goalkeeper, favourite midfielder?
Tell you my favourite golf course.
Oh, no one cares about that.
Oh, I do.
We'll be back.
It's a proper sport.
proper sport.